I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Is It Just Me? It's the podcast where we put all the stupid and most annoying and trivial and little and intense things that are just driving us crazy. We put them all to rights and debate them and solve them right here. I'm Jo Elvin, one of your hosts, and with James Williams and the help of some celebrity friends every week, we will get to the bottom of things that are driving us crazy and ask, is it just me? This week, we are talking to the Bosch Boys. They are the superstars of the vegan cooking scene. Ian Thiessen, Henry Firth started their Bosch Boys empire only about 3 years ago, and now they've already got 2 billion views and counting on all their online channels. And they've sold over 500,000 vegan books. So they are just amazing. And I have to say, the food is really, really good, and it's something we talk about. I've always equated vegan food with joylessness, in a sense, but these guys are here to prove us all wrong, and we're going to talk about everything from clean sheets to label making for your cupboards. All the nights will fly by. You'll enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
I mean, it's hard to believe, guys, given your stats. I mean, like 2 billion streams on YouTube, 500,000 books sold, but for people who have literally been living under a rock, how did the whole Bosch thing begin? Where did it come from? I mean, you guys have known each other for ages, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm Henry, he's Ian. We're mates from school. We must have known each other since we were about 11 years old back in Sheffield, where we went to High Stores School together. And, you know, we've been mates throughout the years. We then started living together in a very London-esque kind of young professional kind of way, you know, like mid-20s. And around age 30, we both went vegan, both for separate reasons. Ian was on a New Year challenge, and I was kind of interested in the environment. But shortly after that, we kind of came together and thought, you know what, we should like try and do something to promote this cause that we really believe in. Long story short, we came up with a channel called Bosch. That's our video channel. It's on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, website. We even have a TikTok nowadays.
Oh, wow. Gosh, you're so modern.
I know, but we're just getting our hands on that, really. And we make vegan food recipes for the world, and they're all for free. But about 3 years ago, we put out our first book, Bosch. It's now the best-selling vegan cookbook of all time. We've sold nearly 500,000 books, all told. More than 500,000 if you count international. And so we're now just doing books and videos when we just originally set out to make videos.
Yeah.
That is the Bosch story in a nutshell.
Because I put your book in the magazine I run, at U Magazine, and I must admit it was the first lot of vegan recipes I'd ever seen that didn't look completely joyless. and I'm not a sort of like a refusenik. I do eat meat, but my husband's a vegetarian, so I'm pretty, you know, I don't have much meat. But I've always found vegan like a stretch too far. But yours was the first time food had colour in it. I thought it was amazing.
I think like we had exactly that same attitude when we first discovered veganism as a potential lifestyle choice. And we definitely saw that there was a bit of a gap in the market for food that people actually wanted to eat, because a lot of the food that was on Pinterest or Instagram prior to us was, yeah, pretty tasty and yeah, pretty well thought out, but no, not very accessible for like the common people out there, especially sort of like lads from Sheffield. So we thought we'd tackle that head on and try and make vegan food as meaty as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and you guys have been great as well. You've been very supportive. So thank you.
Well, we love it. But, you know, because my husband's from up that way. He's from Mansfield. And it doesn't, I mean, it's not very Sheffield to be a vegan, is it? It's like, you know, I mean, and my husband is vegetarian, but God, the conversations we have where people don't understand why he can't just have a pork pie.
Yeah, I mean, 5.5 years ago, it definitely wasn't a very Sheffield or Yorkshire or anywhere out of London thing to do.
Yeah.
But now you go to Sheffield, which is obviously fifth biggest city in the UK. And then you go to cities that are slightly smaller. All of them have got little pockets of vegan like restaurants popping up. So, yeah, it's definitely something that's caught fire. A lot more people are a lot more aware of and a lot more sort of willing to try.
Yeah, but how did you do it? Because I think neither of you are sort of like trained chefs, are you? And so how did you kind of experiment? How did you know what worked and what didn't?
So we like to think of ourselves as well-trained self-taught cooks. So no, we're not trained chefs, and we certainly don't pretend to be. We've got the utmost of respect to anyone who goes through the absolute grinder
that is like yeah.
Including our mate Luke Robinson, actually, who trained under Jamie Oliver and was on our TV show on Living on the Veg with us. You know, I've seen firsthand what pain those guys go through to learn their trade. What we are is we are like self-taught cooks. We're like home cooks. We make food that's super accessible to people who just cook at home. In fact, most chefs might be too might think it was beneath them to show people how to make a cheese toastie. But we're going to be doing a series on vegan cheese toasties next week because people do want to know about this kind of super simple, super easy home cooking. It's not to say that everything that we do is simple, but we definitely have a simplified home cook style approach to cooking.
Are you allowed to recommend a vegan cheese brand? Because I have been burned, guys, in the past. With my vegan cheese experiments.
There's a fair few vegan cheeses out there, but one that we have sort of landed on that we're really pleased with the overall kind of meltiness and flavour is a brand called Applewood. It was originally only available in Asda, but now you can get it in Asda and Tesco. And it's
I'm literally writing that down. Just because my daughter is a vegan and she's a real sort of like super woke, sort of like Generation Z basic nightmare. So I'm trying to find cheeses for her. Yeah.
Amazing. And I guess another, we can give you a little sneak preview tip actually from that series, which is, and actually we found this out because somebody popped it on our Instagram DMs. Often the problem with vegan cheese is either the flavor or the meltiness. So obviously the flavor is the flavor. So you need to find one that you like the flavor of. For that, there's nothing else than just test. Try them, see what you like. But for meltiness, often adding a little bit of kind of steaming to the mix can help any vegan cheese to melt. So for example, if you're making a grilled cheese sandwich, like a cheese toastie, rather than putting the sandwich on there whole with the bottom loaf of the bottom piece of bread and the top piece of bread and the cheese in the middle, you actually leave the top bit off, put a lid on, let that steam and let that heat go all over that cheese. That's going to then melt, and then you can flip it and make your sandwich. So I think adding a little bit more heat in the form of steam or using a lid can help any vegan cheese to melt.
Listeners, don't ever let it be said that we don't give you the most important, pertinent information. I mean, this is important stuff for this new woke world we live in, this modern time.
But correct me if I'm wrong, guys, the new book is especially about even then, I think, making it even simpler and quicker, right? Because, I mean, I live in London, I'm quite into cookery, but I'll be honest, I sometimes look at some ingredients in vegan recipes and I just go, I can't be asked to even try to find those in the supermarket, you know? So I do think that there is still a bit, I think people do have this conception of being quite complicated cooking and quite weird ingredients, but again, is this book going to demystify a bit of that
and,
as well?
And a lot of overnight soaking of things. Yeah.
With this book, I think there's two things that will need a bit of chill time, but everything within the book, like in terms of construction, from getting everything ready and then getting it on a plate, will take you no more than 30 minutes, minus two things that need to chill. But yeah, we basically have been listening to our customer sort of comments, reading them on Amazon, seeing them on the DMs in Instagram and Facebook, and just listening to people. And like one thing that came up time and time again was, oh, vegan food is really fantastic, but I just haven't got the time. It takes too long to get the flavor that you really, really want. So we thought we'll tackle that problem head on. And we've come up with 100 recipes, all of which are very, very delicious. And yeah, don't take more than 30 minutes to cook.
Amazing.
Because, you know, I've got no issue with plant-based food, or, you know, I mean, I eat meat, but I'm not one. I do think there's this weird, especially in some men, they almost see it as slightly emasculating to not eat meat. I'm not one of those people.
My God, do you remember our mate Sarah, who said that she could never have gone out with my husband because he was a vegetarian?
Yeah.
I'm sure that probably wasn't the only reason, but that's the one she quoted. Yeah.
I've got no issue with that. But I mean, I always think vegan food for me is one of those things. When I go to a restaurant that specializes in vegan food, it's amazing and I love it. And I always think, if I could have this food every day, I would be a vegan. But in my head, I just don't think I can recreate that at home.
Can we all just take a moment to say that James's dog, Bingley, has just given us all a brown eye on... He's just actually just turned around and flashed his bum.
Oh, amazing. Hello.
That was thanks for that money shot, Bingley. Sorry, carry on. Yeah.
He's not a vegan, sorry. There's no hope for him being a vegan, but yeah.
Dogs can be vegan, cats can't be. Now, if for anybody who's listening and who has got a pet and thinking, oh, maybe I want them to go vegan, dogs can be vegan, cats absolutely not.
But in terms of your previous comment about going to restaurants and trying to find amazing food, I think it is nowadays really easy to find incredible, delicious, colourful, satiating vegan food in vegan restaurants. And thankfully, and this is different from 5 years ago, thankfully now even the most boring chain restaurants will have at least an option or two options on their menu, where historically it used to be like salad and chips was your go-to.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, it's fine, but 3 days in a row, it starts to wear a little bit. But now you can find incredible things from like vegan mac and cheeses to vegan lasagnas to vegan roast dinners to entire curry spreads, depending on where you go. And so I think we're spoiled nowadays as vegans, or even part-time vegans, with choice, which is exactly what we wanted in the world 5 years ago when we set up Boss.
And that's the thing, you guys are such a, sensations. Did you expect, how did you kind of grow this empire? Was it a shock to you that, that sounds rude, but like, you know, you're great at what you do and you're great at the recipes, but you're also really entertaining for people and people come to the channel and to come to your books for you guys. How did you know you had that charisma?
Well, I think initially when we first set up the channel, we kind of had seen the way that like video was playing more of a role in social media. And there was channels like Tasty by BuzzFeed and a couple of others out there that were doing top-down food videos really well. So we're like, this is a format that could definitely work. No one's doing it for vegan food. Let's see if we could do that. So we spent a lot of time planning and sort of crafting recipes that we think might be A, easy to cook, but B, also quite viral. So it would have that shareability and sort of grow the channel organically. And we sort of put our first video out in June of 2016, and it blew up even more than we could even have ever imagined. It was like 3.5 million views in 10 days, which is, you know, for us, we were like, yo, this is crazy. And since then, I think we kind of got addicted to the big numbers and it inspired us to carry on making wonderful vegan food for the world to see. And like I said, those numbers are quite addictive.
Yeah.
But I think like the Kim Kardashians of the vegan world.
Something like that, if only. I got the charisma bit, we're still working on it. But I'm glad
that we appreciate it. But you've obviously been mates for a very long time. How did you actually, did you just meet at school or what?
Yes, so we met at school and we were in different houses of the same school. You know, it sounds very posh to say a house. Like
so were you mortal enemies?
we weren't enemies, but we were just mates. We were acquaintances. But then Ian moved into my flat back in, do you remember the year?
It would have been 7 years ago.
Seven years ago. What's that year? And he just moved in because I had a room available. Mm-hmm. And then before long, he started working with me on a little startup that I was working on. We kind of worked together for a few years, built a good working relationship, as well as living together, which is admittedly a bit weird.
Yeah.
But then we both found ourselves in the place when that startup wound down, mm-hmm. that we wanted to find something with purpose to do. And we wanted to try and improve the world and improve the health of the planet and people. And, you know, we like animals too. Mm-hmm. So that's when we formalized our relationship to be a kind of working duo.
Mm-hmm. But it's like a marriage, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say it's a lot more intense than marriage. Because at least in marriage, like you kind of like you see each other in the evenings at weekends, but like Henry and I are with each other basically all the time.
Yeah. God. So who's the most annoying one?
We both have our moments.
Yeah.
So diplomatic.
So it depends on what day of the week it is, to be honest.
It's definitely me out of me and James.
Yeah. But guys, in terms of you mentioned big numbers. So what is the evergreen? Is there one evergreen dish that just keeps delivering those numbers that people just watch over and over again? And
it's got to be the chili, right?
Well, I mean, do you know what? In terms of the numbers of the photographs that we get sent of people that have like cooked the stuff, we get loads and loads of them. One that always seems to rise to the top of the pack, as you just said, was the chili. People just seem to love it. And I think because you can make it in batch, it's really, really flavorful. It's super duper healthy.
And hasn't it got some chocolate in it?
That's right. Yeah.
We
dark chocolate in right at the back end. And the reason why we did that is because it's kind of, you know, South American flavor profile. And that was very traditional. So we thought we'd introduce it in ours. And it just gives it a really nice silky texture that's got that sort of like smoky sort of bit going on. And also it darkens the color. It's very, very delicious.
But another dish that absolutely smashes it every single year is our mushroom Wellington.
Oh, yes.
So mushrooms are in that chili. Obviously, they form the mince. So we blend up the mushrooms to make them really, really fine. And they look just like mince when they've softened in the pan. But we use that same technique in a mushroom Wellington. It's like a perfect roast dinner centerpiece. And we get sent hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures of this every single year. For people's vegan or veggie or flexi Christmases. And funnily enough, we just got sent a picture today where someone had made the mushroom Wellington into a different shape than usual. Yeah. And where normally they might, you know, write their name on it or write Christmas or do some little Christmas trees or whatever. But they'd molded their Wellington into a lady's boobs, shall we say. Are we allowed to say boobs?
Yes, you can say whatever you like.
It was a boob Wellington. That's what they made. It was amazing.
It was pretty cool.
I'd feel deeply uncomfortable cutting into that, so that, you know, to carve it up for a Christmas roast, you know. Yeah, you either really want to impress or really, really upset someone with that.
Yeah. And guys, in terms of the new book, is there, I mean, I feel it's a bit like asking somebody for their favourite child, but at the moment, because the book is new, I'm guessing, do you have like one recipe you're really loving from the new book?
Yes, and like considering the book isn't even out yet, like we've made the spicy dan dan noodles a fair few times. We made it on Friday, and then we even made it like a week before. And that might sound like, because we've written so many recipes, the fact that we go to one more than three or four times is quite surprising. But honestly, delicious.
And I would just say the 30-minute lasagna. So, you know, we've created a lasagna which is start to finish about 25 minutes, then 5 minutes for your washing
up. That sounds good.
Absolutely delicious. You would not be able to tell it didn't take 2 hours. And it is foolproof.
Yeah, it really is.
Amazing. So, in other news, about half an hour ago, I had a vegan Magnum. That was good.
Nice.
Have you ever had one? They're really good.
They are very good. And you can tell that they're doing well because initially they just put like the original and then they have done. So now you've got the almond. And before you know it,
That's what I had. Yeah.
So good.
Honestly, get involved.
So guys, but the book is Speedy Bosch and it's out September 17th. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct, man.
Absolutely. Everything under 30 minutes, Speedy Bosch, over 100 plant-based recipes. It's like it's all our Bosch style classic recipes and loads of new Bosch style recipes, but all made faster, easier, and with fewer ingredients.
Mm-hmm. What's not to love? That's also
I know.
You're also making me hungry, so I think we need to move on to some topics.
Right, Bosch boys, James Williams. Is it just me? and it certainly is in my house, who gets super excited, like wildly excited about clean sheets night. And what I think the reason I want to talk about this is I want to find other kindred souls who love it as much as I do. Because when I change the sheets in my house and I say to Ross, my husband, change the sheets tonight, and he's just like, and he wouldn't notice whether or not I have. And I think that's really weird. I think it's one of life's most simple but lovely pleasures is to get into that first night of clean sheets. Am I the weirdo?
No, you're definitely not weirdo. I would fundamentally agree that like having clean sheets is a joy. It's such a simple pleasure. But I think that, do you know how people will go out and they'll spend like a bit of quite expensive, spend a lot of money on like a pair of boots or a nice winter jacket or like a super nice dress shirt or whatever. But sometimes they'll be like, oh, I'll just go to the bargain section and just get like some whatever sheets. I'm like, no. Yeah. The thing that you should be spending the most money on is the sheets, because bottom line is you're there for 8 hours a day. And like that feeling of just climbing into bed at the end of a really like hard day and you've sort of washed yourself and you're just like ready for bed. Just like that feeling of really good quality clean sheets is just the sort of thing that just takes you off into the nighttime perfectly. And you wake up feeling fresh and it's just wonderful.
It's just, it's the sort of thing, isn't it, that just, you know, I think about this a lot. It's like there's so many things that we all have stresses and strains and problems, but getting into a clean bed is one of the things that makes me genuinely grateful for my entire life. Because you sort of like sit and think, there are people out on the streets tonight and I'm so excited about my clean sheet. I genuinely, it's always the thing that makes me grateful for how I live. Do you know what I mean?
No, I completely agree. I think I thought maybe a good name for a bed would be a dream boat.
Isn't there one here?
I don't know, but yeah, maybe dreams, but yeah. it's like with the vessel on which you sail into dreamland with.
Copyright that immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go get a trademark right now.
But here's the other big debating topic, is like how often do you change your sheets? Because I'm a very strict every Sunday duvet cover and everything. Yeah. But I think if I went away, my husband and daughter, their sheets would sort of like, you know, stand up and walk off the bed. They just wouldn't even notice that they need to change it.
Yeah, I'm definitely a once a week type of guy when it comes to sheets. And it was actually a little bit more than that recently because it had been so damn hot. The room is just like, it's basically like a sauna. You just need to wash them every 3 days or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm similar. I feel like roughly every week, but probably a little bit less. Although, if I'm honest, it's normally my fiance MJ who does the sheets.
Well,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a lot of men don't do it, do they? Well, James, you live on your own.
Well, no, what I was going to say, I could sense the judgment from Joe when we had the preamble before you guys joined us today. We started talking about this, and when I said 2 weeks, I could see real judgment in her eyes, and then I felt the need to really follow up quickly with, but it's only me that sinks in them, you know, because I feel like it's a single person. There's not so much DNA floating about, right?
Yeah, but where does Bingley sleep, James?
I know, yeah, the dog does sleep in bed.
When you get like, little mites, little like bed mites hanging around if you're not hygienic enough. I mean, I've never seen any, but I imagine that could happen.
Well, I tell you, am I weird? I do this, and I'm not sure if this is weird or not. I do Hoover my mattress every time I clean my sheets. Is that weird?
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, see, now that's next level. I don't do that. Yeah. I should do that.
But does a Hoover go in the bathroom, on the bathroom floor? That's the only thing I'd be wondering is like transference from where that Hoover has been to the bed.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, my God.
You need a bed Hoover.
You need a separate bed Hoover.
Yeah.
Hanging up on the wall next to the bed. Yeah.
I need like a separate bed dust buster. That's what we need.
Yes, exactly.
I'm with you, Henry. I am so obsessed with bed linen as well. If I had more money, I would, I don't know, pick a seasonal theme every year and like just and really dress the bed. And the most decadent thing I ever read was the designer Valentino living in some mansion in Italy, and every day his staff would change all the sheets on all the beds like it was a hotel. And that to me is, that's living your best life. That would be.
I think it was like Tom Ford who changes his underwear every 6 weeks. Like he gets a whole new set, just gets rid of everything. All of his socks gone, all of his underwear gone. and every 6 weeks he's fresh. I was like, yeah, maybe that's
Tom Ford is the most pristine sort of like bacteria-free person alive. If he's just the most handsome, stunning, he smells amazing. It's just, I don't think he's actually from Earth. So I think that there might be other reasons that he has to change his knickers.
Yeah, as two guys who have both got beards, we can appreciate a good one when we see one, and he has definitely got one of the world's greatest beards.
But no M&S Y-friends for Tom Ford. He's definitely not one of those.
No, definitely not.
No, what kind of underwear does he wear? Did he tell you that?
It's going to be Tom Ford, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious. It's like, what would be the Rolls Royce of men's underwear? Because that's what Tom Ford would be wearing.
His own designs. Yeah. They're about £150 a pair, aren't they? His underwear.
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But no, I am with you. When I moved into my house 4 years ago, my first thing, I made a pact and a promise to myself, I was going to have a hotel bed at home. You know, one of those beds that literally, you know, and I now make it in that very meticulous way every day. Like, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I have cushions, I have pillows, I have a throw. It's got the full works, because for that very reason, you spend so much time in it, make it, you know, something really special. And every night should be like a treat rather than just being like, when you occasionally go away for the weekend.
Totally just change the sheets a bit more often.
The dirty scumbag that I am. Well, if you are listening, you agree with me that changing your sheets every fortnight is perfectly acceptable. Please stick up for me. Email us at the show.
Please do email us and tell us so we can single you out and judge you.
The email address to slag me off is itjustmepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line. It's not me that has this, actually, but until recently, I did have very haphazardly organized food cupboards. And obviously doing lockdown, one of those things I got around to doing was finally organizing my food cupboards, to the point where I'm, again, not ashamed to admit, I ordered Kilner jars and I've now labeled them and everything has now been put into said jars.
What's a Kilner jar?
Do you know those glass jars that have like the rubber sort of seal at the top? They're like pickling jars, really. Oh. They look quite pretty.
Well, every day is a school day.
I know. And so basically, I now have everything is essentially decanted into Kilner jars, which is very pretentious. But at least I don't feel like, because I'll be honest, you know, somebody, we all have that one cupboard in our house where you open it and everything's about to fall out on top of you, you know?
Oh, everything. Yes.
That was my food cupboard for a long, long time. And now they are a thing of beauty. I bet you guys must have lovely, beautifully organized larders.
You can see a bit of it there. It looks good.
Exactly. You can see it behind us.
Yeah.
It's very topical, actually, because we have both, right? So we're on both sides of the fence here. On the one hand, we absolutely have got those cupboards where things are just falling out, right? In fact, one of them is not even a cupboard. It's just a kind of little closety room where there's just things that have not been organized that need to get organized. But actually, today... Mm-hmm. Right now, we're in the midst of an organization session. So everything is being organized. And our organization is like level crazy. Okay. So we've got a label maker. We've got the Kilner jars. We've got the other Kilner jars. We've got the ones from all the big shops like IKEA. We've got all of the jars, different shapes, different sizes, different colors. Some of our stuff's written in label makers. Some of it's written in liquid chalk on little black. Oh,
I love an organization gasm. Yeah. That's what it is, isn't it? That's what you're going to have later on.
Exactly. Yeah. And do you know what else? The rule that we follow here in this studio, or at least we try to follow, is that if it doesn't have a label and a place, then it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is everything has one place where it exists. And then you have, if it's not in its place, it must be in the cupboard that you haven't sorted yet. So that's our system. We're super organized, although sometimes we do fall foul of that organization.
Well, I recently discovered I've got 6 jars of horseradish cream because I keep buying it and then just shoving it in and then forgetting that I've got it. So that tells you everything you need to know about fastidious with the bed making, not so much with the cupboard organizing.
Nice. Well,
this is what I was doing with my spices. I kept forgetting I had the spice because my cupboards were so badly organized, and that's what the beauty of the Kilner jars, where you feel like you're writing it on there, you know it's there. It just helps I find, you know, the whole sort of spice admin is much improved by having, you know, clear kiln jars with everything clearly labeled.
Is it true that sort of urban myth about, like, if you if spices can kill you if they're, like, too out of date? Is that true?
So, I should be dead.
I wouldn't want to advise on that for health purposes, but what I definitely heard early on is, you know, spices will go dusty, and so you shouldn't buy the big spices if you're not going to use them quickly, because they'll lose a little bit of their flavor. And that may be true, and we do sometimes buy those smaller spice jars. But actually, you can revive spices by giving them a quick toast in a dry pan, as of course you will have both done in a curry before. I'm sure you can kind of just shake them and bring them back to life after they've been sat in that jar. But also, you know, you've got to live your life. And if you've got a drawer full of the small spice pots, and then you've got your large kilner jars from which you refill those small ones, and it all, the admin gets incredible. So I think I'm less worried about my spices being slightly slightly more dull in their flavor, and more just worried about making sure we can not spend our entire time just organizing our pantry.
And yeah. Are you guys super organized as a rule? Like, generally, the rest, are your clothes well organized? Are you quite meticulous in life generally?
Yeah, I think doing a bit of an organization just sort of saves you time in the long run. So it's like, once you've done it once, it's sort of like, you know, all your t-shirts are folded and they're just like right there, or everything's sort of just like just so in the wardrobe. And now you say that, yeah, we're not completely sorting, we're just sort of adjusting our cupboards to make sure that they're bang on. So when we go for something, we know it's there. And also, if it's run out, we know it's not there, so we buy more and just replace. So yeah, I think there's a lot of time saved.
It's Marie Kondo, isn't it? She's the one who advocates this method. And I actually learned it before that, but I think generally her vibe of like everything has one place is the best way to exist.
Yes, 100%.
I think it must. I mean, I know there's no greater chaos in my house than the pantry, but it's the one thing all through lockdown. I thought, oh, this weekend I'll do that. But it's the one thing I always found something better to do. So I think if I didn't do it in 5 months of lockdown, it's never going to happen. Maybe I should buy a label maker and see if that changes my whole attitude.
You say you've got a daughter?
Or a son? Just a daughter, yeah.
Yeah, just pay them to do it.
That could end up, I think that might be the very definition of a false economy. But yeah, I think I'll be poorer and we'll have even more mess. Yeah.
I was slightly fascinated to hear you guys mention that you apply both methods. You have a label maker and the pens. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
God, this is just like...
I feel. I always thought the world was divided into two clear sets of people. There were the people that like the label makers on their jars, and there are the more slightly artistic people who like to, like, you know, freestyle it with a pen. Yeah. I'm the latter.
I mean, everything. Like, I could just... We're on my desk. We're not even in the kitchen, but I could start holding up things that have labels on them. Little hard drives for our videos. Yeah. A little thing for our SD cards. Everything is labeled. I do worry about the amount of time I spend in my life actually printing out these labels.
Voice-activated label maker.
Voice-activated label. Yes. Why doesn't Siri do a label?
It's time in your life you just can't get back. Yeah.
Goodness. But I do find, though, I definitely feel my handwriting's improved since having to write everything on those kilner jars. My handwriting, because you just don't really write very much anymore, do you? Because everything's on your phone or on a computer. You don't really handwrite. So weirdly, when I did this task, and it took me about 2 days, I'm not going to lie, I did it. But it was really oddly, because it was so mundane and so repetitive. And obviously, you then became really meticulous. Like, I'd write cinnamon and go, well, A, I could never spell cinnamon. The number of times I'd have to go, that doesn't look right. And then I'd have to redo it. But I kept redoing it. My calligraphy skills have improved as well. So that's a life skill I've got now, hopefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, James, you need to get out more, babe.
Yeah.
or I should spend this time changing my sheets.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know what to make. I think I'm feeling like a real slattern right now, but I'm still not motivated to sort my cupboard out.
We tried. You're missing out on all this fun with your label maker.
I know.
You wipe off pens.
I just haven't lived, you know? Yeah.
Hold up. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, we've got one more, guys, and then we'll let you guys go. But our last one this week, and this is quite appropriate, I think, considering it's a Monday, and I'm feeling quite Monday today. We're recording on a Monday anyway. Is it me that even though I'm predominantly working from home still, I still get that, thank God it's Friday, you know? I mean, you guys obviously work for yourselves. I mean, how did you find the whole lockdown thing? So I guess you work, you live together. Did it actually change your lives that much? Did it have a huge impact or not?
Yeah, I'd say it changed our whole lives for the better, probably, but almost unrecognizably. Mm. So we have a team. There's five of us working on videography and managing our products in stores and our books and stuff. And obviously the two of us. Mm-hmm. And from being a team that get together in an office in Chiswick every single day, we moved straight away to being a remote team. So now our morning meeting are on Zoom and we're just chatting to a whole team as faces on our computer instead of seeing them in person. And I don't think we'll go back. So we're moving away from that office. We are now completely remote as a team. So it's changed unrecognizably. Mm. And I would say that despite the fact this is our home and that we kind of are here 7 days a week or we have been for about the last 6 months, we're still so grateful when Friday comes along. Yeah. I don't know what it is. There's something about Friday that you just want to kind of go crazy and run around the room in circles, drink the wine or drink the beer or cook something tasty. And we still get super excited on Fridays.
Oh, I do, because the you still have, and in fact, because now everything's on the screen. So you're just bombarded with emails and Zooms and phone calls all day. And there's nothing like that 4:30, 5 o'clock when you can just tell suddenly the emails stop sort of like coming in. And that's just the best feeling in the world. I don't care where that is.
Yeah, definitely. Like both Henry and I are keen DJs, and we've got like a full DJ set up here. So every Friday over the course of lockdown, we've been sort of plugging that in and streaming live on Twitch to like a fair few hundred people, which has been a lot of good fun.
Yeah,
something to look forward to.
You're playing the music you want to play. You're drinking a few beers, winding down, and it's fun.
Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we are. Yes, twitch.tv/bossLive. If anyone wants to tune in and come check us out,
there. Or you could just you could live zoom the label making instead, just for you know, to really go crazy one weekend. Yeah,
some people would love that. You know,
there definitely would be a market. Yeah, there's one right here.
Yeah, a nice label making playlist, please.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was going to say, a different context for me on this one actually was because obviously during lockdown, especially, a lot of my work kind of vanished. So me having to, you know, do far too much DIY and cooking and, you know, all the sort of drawing on jars, that was born out of sheer too much time on my hands to the point whereby the reason why I got the thank fuck it's Friday feeling was because I suddenly didn't feel so guilty because as soon as Friday came around, I knew even everyone that was really busy and working, their weekends had come, so that I didn't feel bad that I wasn't doing anything. I knew everyone else wasn't doing anything either. That was kind of my take on it. It was weird because I felt this weird guilt throughout the week when I literally could not I didn't have any work, so I couldn't find enough stuff to do. And you just have time in your hands to think. So then weirdly, the Friday became a bit of a relief for me, knowing that everyone else was coming into their weekend.
Totally. It's the pressure, isn't it? It's a let up of the mental pressure of thinking I should be doing X. And even though, you know, when we were in lockdown, our Saturdays and Sundays were pretty much the same as our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays. But it's the release of the pressure. Nobody's waiting for anything from you. And you can decide what you're going to do. Even if in our case, you know, we're still going to make lasagna or, you know, cook something. But it just feels better, doesn't it?
Is it hard, though, to spend that much time together when it is like you're living together and working together? I mean, I feel very grateful. It's going to sound, I'm being so mean about my husband today, but I'm very grateful that we've got a house big enough that he's up there and I'm down here and we can just meet in the evenings like the old days of work. When you're... I mean, but when you run out of stuff to say to each other, don't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I reckon it's important to sort of retain a bit of independence, even if you're like under the same roof. Now we're like, you are lucky enough to like live in a pretty big house, so we can take ourselves off to different spots.
Yeah.
And we're also both really good at sort of switching off from work. So like when work is finished, we kind of stop talking about work, unless of course, like we're cooking a dinner and be like, oh, this would be really good on the channel or whatever. So yeah, I think it is very, very important to have a degree of separation. And anyone in any kind of intense relationship, be it working or be it in a marriage, will know that.
Mm. Speaking of unwinding, I definitely feel like we touched on it earlier, but I think certainly in the last 5 years or so, there's a lot less eye rolling now when people say they are vegan. You know, it used to be, you were a bit like, oh God, you didn't ever come to my house for dinner. I can't ever cook for a vegan. There's all that kind of stuff. But now I think, you know, it's become a lot more mainstream. But I will maintain there are still two things I feel there's a lot of pushback from, and it's vegan beer and vegan wine.
Yeah.
Now, where do you guys stand on that? Especially the wine. People are still very snooty about vegan wine, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one. Look, the way we say it is people should do what they want to do. And it might be controversial to say this as a vegan, but you should eat what you want and you should drink what you want. If you want to go looking for vegan wine that hasn't been processed with any animal products, then do that. That's an amazing thing. But if that's too much, then don't stress about it. And if even eating vegan meals 7 days a week is too much, then do three or do one meal a day or something. So we're quite accepting and welcoming in people kind of dipping your toes into veganism. Yeah. For us personally, we will hunt down those vegan beers and vegan wines, but actually most beer is vegan anyway, particularly like premium lagers. Most of those are. Guinness is even now vegan friendly. Mm. So that's amazing. Vegan wines are becoming more and more popular as well. And if you want to check, you can go on barnivore.com, which is a great website where they tell you what's in and what's out. And also vodka is vegan. So, you know, we're all going to be fine at the end of the day.
Phew. That might have been a deal breaker. Oh, wow. I think, I don't know if we put the world to rights there or not, but we've certainly had fun. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. It's been really enlightening.
I'm just hungry and desperate for a drink now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pop round to yours on Friday with the decks and we'll do an in-person live stream. How about that?
That sounds amazing.
Don't forget your label maker.
Yeah.
The label maker, yeah.
No, guys, it's lovely to meet you and good luck with the book. Not that you need it, but the book again, it's Speedy Bosch, out September 17th.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, out everyone.
Pleasure chatting.
Lovely to see you guys. Good luck with it all. And
thanks a lot.
Everyone, we'll see you again soon.
See you later.
See you.
Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.